Do you have a child who pushes boundaries? How do we as parents establish healthy boundaries with our kids? Why are boundaries important? And which parenting style do boundaries fall under? All this and more in today's episode. Welcome to the Curious Neuron Podcast. Parenting advice that is backed by science. My name is Cindy Hovenden and I'm the founder and your host. I have a doctorate degree in neuroscience and I'm a mom of three. My goal is to bring you information from research that will help you parent your child. Whether you just had a baby or you have a teenager, Curious Neuron is here to answer your questions. I will speak with pediatric clinicians, researchers, early childhood educators, and special education teachers. Learn with us by visiting our website at CuriousNeuron.com. Listen to our bi-weekly podcast or join us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Send in your comments or questions at info@CuriousNeuron.com. Welcome to the Curious Neuron community. Hi everyone, welcome back. Today we are talking about boundaries, or you might call them limits or rules. Boundaries are really important when it comes to parenting. I'm going to dive right into the interview so that you have a better understanding of what boundaries are, how we establish boundaries, and we'll provide you with examples as well. And then after the interview, stay tuned because I will be talking about a research study that I came across that spoke about a type of parenting that really implements boundaries and how this specific type of parenting helps a child not only in their development, but later on in school. And I'll talk about four different types of parenting and I invite you to compare the four different parenting styles that I'll describe and think about which one you follow. Let's get right into the interview and I'll see you on the other side. My guest today is a psychotherapist from Canada and founder of Our Mama Village, which is a website and community that places focus on maternal mental health, and they are dedicated to advocating for moms everywhere. Her Instagram feed is a wealth of information. Her posts remind us to take care of ourselves, to acknowledge and accept our children, and she teaches us how to connect with them. She currently has two online courses, one on how to parent little kids with big feelings, and the other is calming anxiety in motherhood. I think something that we all need. Visit ourmamavillage.com for details. My guest today is Jessica Grace. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited to talk about boundaries today because it's something that I think we all kind of struggle with in terms of how to establish these, you know, healthy boundaries in our home and what exactly they are and when we could apply them and so on. So I posted this on Instagram and got a lot of questions. So, and I have questions too. So how about we begin with, what do we mean when we say boundaries?
Great question. Boundaries are something that we talk about from infancy all the way to adulthood. All of us have different boundaries in our lives. When we're talking to the ages 0 to 5, I like to call them loving limits as well, because really what they are is setting these limits with our children with this underlying theme of unconditional love. And so what that might look like in practice is saying something like, I see that you really want to touch the plant, but I can't let you do that. So we're setting these limits around things that our children may want to do that are unsafe or that we can't let them do in that moment.
Can you also use the word rules for boundaries?
Yeah, I think rules is another good word that we could use. So another way to look at it, I always talk with the parents that I work with about negotiables and non-negotiables in their house. So We may have some things that are rules or non-negotiables that are just always going to be that boundary or that limit. Things that our children need to do every day or things that we're just not okay with in our home. Like for example, hitting, that would be a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. Whereas some other things, we may not be as firm in our boundaries because they're negotiable. And I always think about that as a non-negotiable is my daughter has to wear a shirt and pants to preschool every day. A negotiable is, okay, fine, you can wear the ones that are not matching or that you wore yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So then that means we could, we don't have to stick to them when it comes to a boundary. We could, I guess, like you said, some are negotiable.
Yeah, exactly. So when we're thinking about setting boundaries, it's helpful to talk to your parenting partner before you're really in that moment and think about, you know, what are those non-negotiables for our, mm-hmm. our home, like things like hitting, things like wearing clothes to daycare. Those are the things that we really want to have those firm, loving limits or boundaries around. And then what are those things that we can maybe release some of the rules around and we can kind of let go?
Okay, got it. And are boundaries really important for children and their development?
Boundaries are very important for children and their development. So if we think of the research on the different types of parenting, authoritative parenting, which is characterized by having high levels of warmth. So that would be the unconditional love. As we talk about on Our Mama Village a lot, we talk about narrating feelings and kind of that emotion coaching, but mm-hmm. also high levels of control. Children need those rules or those boundaries in order to feel safe and really make sense of the world. So I think a lot of the times parents are worried to set these boundaries or have those rules in their home because they don't want to come off as too controlling. But we can do it in a way that really helps our kids feel safe.
That's interesting. And they feel safe, but then why is it that sometimes children tend to push boundaries?
I think that's such a good question. Just so your listeners know, I have a 3-year-old at home. So we have a lot of boundary pushing, especially during COVID right now.
I'm asking, yeah, my son just turned 3 and I have an almost 5-year-old. Okay. So that's why I'm like, okay, why are they doing this?
Yeah, and I think that's a good question, right? If it's like, if boundaries are so good and important, then why do my kids hate them so much?
Yeah,
I think that's such a valid question. I think that kids, it's their job to really kind of figure out the world. And that's how I always look at kids, right? They're new to this world. They're engaging in the world in the very first time. And so all the behaviors that they're doing, they're trying to make sense. Does this behavior work? Does this behavior not work? What happens when I do this? And so even in terms of like hitting and biting, kids are really asking like, what happens when I do this? Does this work? Does this get... Does this help get my need met? And our job is really as discipline, when we're disciplining them, to instruct them and teach them and show them what behavior works and doesn't work. And in doing that, while we're setting boundaries, sometimes we're going to have big feedback and they're going to be angry. They're going to be upset. And if we can look at that instead of our child is bad, but our child is learning, they're learning new ways of getting their needs met, they're learning new ways to communicate with me, I think we can have a really different view on boundaries. And we can also maybe be a little bit more okay with those big feelings that come up when we set them.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. And I mean, I'm thinking of these non-negotiable boundaries. Mm-hmm. If we tend to not be, I don't know if this is the word for it, but strict about it, and we kind of let things go, is that what might lead to the behavior going off a little bit more if we don't continue setting those boundaries?
Yeah, for sure. Like if you think about it from a child's perspective, when we can firmly and calmly set boundaries and continue to set those boundaries, then they begin to know what to expect from us, from the world around mm-hmm. them. So if only half the time we're setting the boundaries, then that might be a little bit confusing for them. And we might see more big emotions and big feelings when we do on those times that we do set them. So mm-hmm. consistency really is key. And I know as I'm saying this, I have a 3-year-old and a newborn at home. And I know sometimes it can be really draining to set those boundaries. And sometimes it's like, oh, okay, well, fine. You know, we're in isolation. I guess you don't have to wear pants today.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
And then tomorrow when I try and make her wear pants and try and have that boundary, I have a way. So wearing clothes apparently is a big deal in our house.
Yeah. We went through the same phase with my son. Yeah.
And so, yeah.
No pants phase.
So one day I'm like, and so I say being consistent. I know how hard that is to do. So if one day I'm like, oh, I don't care. You know, don't worry about mm-hmm. wearing pants. And the next day I'm like, no, we have to wear pants every single day. This is a non-negotiable. It can get kind of confusing in her mind because she's like, okay, well, one day you say this and one day you say that.
Yeah.
And so that is really where consistency is key when we're setting those boundaries.
Got it. And I'm thinking of maybe a baby who's starting to crawl and wants to climb the stairs. At what age can we start establishing boundaries? Is a 10-month-old too young? If they can't speak and can't really understand yet?
Yeah, for sure. I think this is a great question. I get this one all the time. Mm. I think it's really important to start really young with our kids setting those boundaries. So for example, something like the stairs, they might not catch on right away, and you might find that you're doing it over and over. But the younger that you really start setting those boundaries in a loving and caring way, the earlier your child is going to begin to understand and respect those boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so really starting it young, we're setting the stage for success for our kids, really for the long term. So I am all about starting it when they're young and starting it when they're babies, and giving them the language. So something we talk about a lot in our Mama Village is narrating. So just kind of talking mm-hmm. out loud what you're seeing. And I think that can be really, really helpful even in younger kids.
That's something I was going to bring up. It's I love how you kind of illustrated on our Mama Village. You talk about narrate, then set the boundary, and then, or talk about the boundary, I guess, and then a creative yes.
Yes.
Can you explain that a little bit more? Maybe that'll help us understand how to approach these situations with our children.
For sure. And so I think what I'll talk about is starting with our younger toddlers and babies, and then I'll give you some examples for preschoolers, because I think it does look Perfect. A little different depending on who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about those little tots and those babies. So first, we just want to narrate out loud. So it's basically just saying what you're seeing out loud to our child. So let's say they're climbing the couch and we don't want them to be climbing the couch. You might see, oh, I really see that you want to move your body. And so we're narrating out loud. And what this is doing is, from an early age, we're trying to give them the language so that eventually when they're talking, they can say those words to us. Mm-hmm. So again, like, what we're all about is trying to set the stage for success, being proactive in our parenting. Mm-hmm. And the second step would be, we'd set that boundary or that limit and say, I can't let you climb on the furniture. And after that, we'd give them a creative yes. So we give them something that they could do instead, understanding that the need to move their body is still going to be there, even if they can't climb on the furniture. Mm-hmm. So that might be something in this situation, like a jumping jack or twirling or swinging or something mm-hmm. else that helps them move their body.
I love that creative yes, because I find that with my firstborn, when I was still trying to figure everything out, when there was a no to something, you know, no, you can, well, don't climb. I didn't know about the narrating part of it, but I knew that the contrasting helped a lot. So you can't do this. However, you can do this. Mm-hmm. Helped my daughter learn a lot on, you know, what can she do? Because if we just tell them no, I guess in my experience, don't do this or don't do that, it doesn't give them information as to what's allowed or how to do something if they want, like you said, to move their body around, right? So yeah, I love that you talk about that creative yes.
Yeah, exactly. And if that curiosity is still there, or depending what you're talking about, like, I think a lot mm-hmm. when my daughter was, like, let's say, you know, 10 to 15 months, she was obsessed with her cat. And and she always wanted to be pulling the cat's tail and touching the cat. Yeah. And so we follow this exact strategy with her. So narrating, oh, I see you really want to touch our cat. The boundary, I can't let you pull her tail. And then the creative yes, but we can softly pet her. Let's practice doing that together. Mm-hmm. And so just those simple three steps, we practiced over and over. And over time, she started softly touching the cat instead of pulling her, trying to pull her fur.
And I think something to remind parents, I guess, especially when you have a young child, it's not by saying it once or twice that everything will change.
Yeah.
It takes time, right? Like, a lot of time.
A lot of time. Yeah. 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 Really, I think about this type of parenting, and we're in it for the long term, right? We're not in it for the for the instant obedience. It's going to take a little bit of time. But the more consistent, like I said before, that you are with it, the better it's the quicker it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So now we spoke about the young child. Now let's picture a 3 or 4 year old, maybe in the same situation, so that we have something to contrast it with, who's climbing the couch or wants to jump on the couch. How would you approach the situation with an older child?
So I think very similarly for the couch example with an older child. So the one, I think the main difference between the little toddlers and the preschoolers is the amount of language that you use. So with our little toddlers, like, we just want to think about what their brains can, from a developmental standpoint, really be understanding from us. So our language is going to be very clear, very short, very to the point with our little toddlers, so that they start to catch on a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. With our older preschoolers, to the older toddlers, we can be talking a little bit more with them. We can be even more collaborative with our problem solving. So with our little tots, we might say, let's jump instead. With our preschoolers, we might ask them what they think would be helpful instead.
Oh, yeah.
So we can do more of that collaboration piece with our preschoolers that our little toddlers, just from a developmental standpoint, just aren't quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. Can you provide us with some more examples of when or certain situations when we should be establishing boundaries in our home?
For sure. I think there's a lot of different situations where we're setting boundaries. So thinking of any behavior that's unsafe or hurtful to others. Mm-hmm. So any behavior like hitting, biting, kicking, we want to be setting those boundaries and we want to be really clear on those boundaries. So, you know, I see you want that toy, but I can't let you hit your sister to get it. Or I see you want to help me cook dinner, but I can't let you that close to the stove. So those types of things that are dangerous or put our children in a situation where their safety is not coming first, then we for sure need to be setting those boundaries right away, being very clear about them. Mm-hmm. And then, like we mentioned before, those negotiables and non-negotiables, which might look different depending on your home. So something that might be a non-negotiable for me, you might be more flexible on. So that really comes down to your values as parents. And something that I work with the parents that I support in my private practice is I always make a list with them. You know, what are your values in your home and what are negotiables for you and what are non-negotiables? And we talk about that together. And I really encourage you to do that in your home as well, because that really helps you with setting boundaries to have those kind of in mind beforehand.
I really like that advice. I think it's important. I also, like you mentioned before, for both parents to be on the same mm-hmm. page when it comes to boundaries. And this might apply even for families that are like parents who are divorced or separated. Because from what I had seen before, children who are in different homes might have different boundaries depending on the home that they're in. Mm-hmm. And this could become confusing for the child.
Right. Yeah. Like we mentioned before, boundaries help kids make sense of the world. And so mm-hmm. if the main caregivers for the child can be on the same page, it just helps them make sense of the world and what behavior works and doesn't work in their world a little bit more quickly. And you might see less big behaviors or big emotions around setting those boundaries, the more consistent that you are.
Mm-hmm. If a child is attending daycare, maybe not now given the situation, but let's just say pre-COVID, yes. You know, spending the day at their grandparents' house, would you want to apply the same boundaries, I guess, given what we're speaking about now, that consistency? Mm-hmm. So would you want to do the same thing given those situations, kind of having similar boundaries at daycare and grandma and grandpa's house and your home?
I mean, that's the ideal situation. It's ideal to have the same boundaries set kind of across the main settings where your child is. That mm-hmm. being said, I do see a lot of stress and panic in parents who send their kids to daycare or to the grandparents' house where they might not quite have the exact same boundaries, right? Like I send my child to my mom's house and my mom is not going to have the same boundaries that I do simply because mm-hmm. she spoils her rotten.
And every grandparent's
and, you know,
yeah.
So I want to encourage parents to know too that that's okay. Okay. That really what's the most important is happening in your own home. Okay. Ideally, good. Other places would be on the same page as you, but it's okay if the majority of it is happening in your own home.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. And let's say in our home, we haven't really worked on establishing boundaries. Mm-hmm. And now, I don't know, our child is maybe 4 or 5 years yep. old. And somebody's listening to this and saying, you know, okay, I really need to sit down and work on this. Is it ever too late to start, you know, implementing boundaries in our home?
That's a great question. No, I don't think it's too late. And if you do have a 4 or 5 year old and you're like, oh no, I haven't started this yet. And I have don't stress about it. Don't worry about it. It's not too late. What you might see is when you're initially setting those boundaries around things that maybe you didn't set before, you might see those big feelings come up in your kids and they might be upset mm-hmm. and angry with you. And one thing we talk about on our Mama Village is that that's okay. It's okay for our kids to be angry with us. And when they are, because kids are going to be angry with us, it's going to happen. We can validate that emotion. And so another big part of setting these limits and these boundaries is this underlying theme of unconditional love. And, you know, I will always love you, and I can't let you do this. So when you set those boundaries for the first time and your child is angry and upset with you, you can really validate, hey, I see this is really hard for you, and narrate those feelings out loud that they're having. But that doesn't mean that setting that boundary is not okay just because they're mad at you.
It might be easier too to give in. I'm thinking of a toddler who, you know, if you have a certain boundary and it'll lead to an emotional outburst every time, like you said, those big feelings. It does get hard on the parent to be part of this sort of environment, or they don't know, or we don't know how to deal with it if it's happening every time. But from what I'm learning from you now is that it's really important for us to be consistent and to maintain that boundary, even if it brings up a lot of big emotions in our kids.
and just knowing that those big emotions are okay. And again, it's how your child is making sense of the world. And so we can help them process those emotions by letting them know that we see the emotion, speaking out loud what we're seeing. So for example, I give this example in my course, but there was this time when my daughter, it was early in the morning, and she was having a meltdown over wanting to open the microwave door. Like, it was just, you know, sometimes when your kids have those meltdowns, you're like, what is this even about? She just wanted to open and close the microwave door over and over, open, close, open, close. And so I'd set the boundary because I don't want her to wreck my microwave. I can't let you open and close the microwave door. And it just turned into a huge meltdown, a big emotional release. And my job in that moment wasn't to let her then continue to do that thing, even though that would stop her big feeling and her emotional release, but was to hold that boundary and talk her through it. So say, hey, I see that that's really hard. You really wanted to be playing with the microwave. That was fun. So I can give her that language. So eventually over time, instead of having the meltdown, she can just give me that language and we can have a chat about it. So in moments like that, it's so hard, and we just want to shut down those feelings, but know that that work, that those feelings that your child has when you set those boundaries, that's an important time too, where we can be modeling how to talk about our feelings and how to be calm in those moments.
And I think the modeling is also important to remember that we are modeling those emotions and the behavior and the fact that, you know, we want to stick to these boundaries. And but I'm thinking also maybe these setting these boundaries and these having these big emotions might trigger some emotions in parents.
Oh yes.
Given even like the situation you spoke about, or even with a toddler, sometimes you give them exactly what they want and all of a sudden something is triggered, but it's not even about a boundary now, it's something happened. If certain boundaries are leading to triggers in yourself as a parent, what advice do you have for parents in terms of regulating their own emotions?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think, and it depends on on how you grew up too, but you know, this season of parenting these little ones is so full of triggers from our own childhood experiences and other things that come up in our lives. And so I really encourage parents, first of all, if you've been through a traumatic childhood or you have things that you notice just keep coming up from your own childhood, don't hesitate to talk to a therapist and kind of process and do your own work there. I think that's really important. Second, I think in those moments, we really just want to focus on trying to regulate ourselves first. So we can't calm our dysregulated child if we're not in a place where we're feeling regulated. So some ways that you can do that is taking deep breaths. If that's something that works for you, just trying to regulate your nervous system, take some deep breaths. You can remove yourself from the situation if you need to. So if it's either that or you're going to yell, or you just feel like you can't control yourself, just let your child know you'll be back and take a break and then come back. And one more thing that I often talk to parents that I'm working with, and I don't know if this will resonate with you if you're listening. So if it doesn't, feel free to ignore it. It's kind of a silly advice. But to almost think like you're wearing this bulletproof vest, and you have your children, they're yelling at you, they're getting angry at you. And all of those things are just kind of reflecting off your bulletproof vest. and you're calm and you're in control. And just almost that visualization of, I got this. My emotions are separate from my child's emotions. And I think Janet Lansbury talks about this too. I'm pretty sure in one of her books, she calls it something different. I think she maybe calls it a shield. But the same kind of metaphor, where in her metaphor, it's a shield. And again, your child's words and their meltdown is just kind of deflecting off of you. And I think for me, that's a helpful metaphor to have, especially when I have a tendency to get sucked into those big feelings and start to feel the same way.
Well said. It's true. That's the feeling.
Yeah.
Of getting sucked into it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely get that feeling too, where you just all of a sudden you're sucked into their emotions. Mm. And so just to imagine the vest or the shield metaphor, that you can kind of protect yourself and their feelings can bounce off you. And that way you can be there and be there calm. For me, that's something that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think that's great advice for parents. I'd like to finish off with two questions that I received on Instagram. So somebody wanted to know, is defiance of a boundary linked to how you set the boundary, or is it linked to the child's character? If a child keeps defying it and you're struggling to have them follow a certain boundary, do you say, well, this is their character and they just don't want to follow boundaries, or can you recreate a boundary, I guess, or work it out a bit to get a child to follow it?
Yeah. I see the question. I think it really depends on the situation. And so something that we're always talking about at our Mama Village is we just want to have this mindset of curiosity. And so instead of thinking, oh, it's my child's character, or they're just a defiant child, or they're a bad or angry child, we want to get curious about what else could be going on in the situation. And so setting those boundaries and coming up with the creative yeses, those are part of kind of the bigger picture when we're looking at a child's behavior. And a big piece of it is we want to be curious about, why is this behavior happening? So for example, the microwave door situation, was it really that she wanted to touch the microwave door, or was she just feeling really dysregulated in her body and already, like, at that time of day when that happened, she hadn't had breakfast yet, she hadn't slept well the night before. And so really, was that meltdown around the microwave door and her being defiant? Probably not. It was probably due to being hungry and feeling overwhelmed and overstimulated.
True.
So when we can really just adopt this curious mindset and realize that behavior is communication, and a lot of the times the behavior is not about the behavior. And so we want to kind of get deeper and look deeper into what's going on and look under the surface, versus just kind of blanket statements like the child is being defiant or it's in their character. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. Yeah, even for me with advice for tantrums, I always talk about becoming that detective and trying to figure out what triggers tantrums. So I see what you're saying in terms of getting curious about it.
Yeah.
And what there's a lot of work that goes into it, right? It's easy to just kind of link it to their character, but really digging deeper takes work. But it gives you a better outcome, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like how you have the detective metaphor. We use the similar metaphor in our course and investigator.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we use a similar metaphor.
I just picture a little detective.
Yeah.
with a magnifying glass.
Yeah, exactly.
With somebody who might be listening and has an older child, not a teenager necessarily, but somebody, a child who's starting preschool, let's say, would you want to include them when you are establishing perhaps a new boundary?
Include them
in creating the boundary itself, or is this something you just kind of approach with them, even if they're older, and say, here are the boundaries, here are the limits in our home? Or when they're older, would it help to include them?
Yeah, I think for sure. I love the idea of the family meeting, or like kind of like the family, the negotiable, non-negotiable, but coming up with that as a family and really having that discussion. And I think the older your kids get, school age, even kindergarten age, we can be having those discussions as a family and really, really being clear with our expectations for our kids ahead of time. And I think that will really set them up for success. So if you have those older kids, we can be collaborating, like I mentioned before, collaborating with them, inviting them into the conversation. I think that's great.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if that would also open up the conversation of them wanting to have their own boundaries.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they may have some boundaries or some rules that you may be surprised about, right?
Yeah, I'm wondering. Yeah, even, you think about your room as a younger child becoming your little space I'm wondering if they would say, you know, this is my, I don't know, I don't have an older child, but I'm wondering if that would help.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. A lot of the families I've worked with have, they do this, they do the family meeting, and once a week they all get together, and it's not all talk about rules, but they kind of go over the family rules or negotiables, non-negotiables. And it's interesting, yeah, what the kids bring up. Sometimes it's about a special toy or about their room or certain time of day that they have. And so, yeah, it's a great way to connect with your kids. Yeah.
So to close off, I think I'd love to ask you, what are your main tips or your main advice for parents who want to start, either they want to start establishing boundaries right now, or perhaps want to make a little change to how they were doing it before? What advice do you have for them?
I think this is a great question. So one piece of my advice would be, when you're setting your boundaries, just be mindful of kind of that underlying theme again of that unconditional love. And so I think people who are afraid to set boundaries, sometimes it falls into two camps. First, like, I don't want to be too controlling of my kids. And second, like, I'm afraid of, you know, what happens if I set a boundary. And so just remembering that you're the confident leader of your home. You are the leader. It's okay for you to set these boundaries, and it helps your kids feel safe, even if they have those big emotions. And so really coming at it with that perspective of, this is okay for me to do, and I can do this, and it will be, and I can do it from a place of unconditional love and respect for my kids.
I love that. Thank you so much, Jess, for sharing your knowledge and your wisdom about boundaries and building that connection with our kids. And I think you've beautifully illustrated how we could create these boundaries and maintain a connection. It's not about showing them who's in charge or the boss, but that showing that you are the leader, but still doing it with love.
Yeah.
Thank you. And is there, so if anybody wants to reach you, they can find you on Instagram, Our Mama Village, your website, ourmamavillage.com. Is there anything else or any other place they could reach you?
Those are the two best places. Yep. You can find me on Instagram or my website. We talk about all of this in my course, which is located on my website as well. And yeah, we'd love to have you on our village on Instagram.
Thank you so much. I hope we get to chat again soon.
Thanks so much for having me. This was really fun.
Now that we understand a little bit more about why boundaries are important and how to establish them, I wanted to dive into an article that I found by Onola and colleagues in 2000 in the Journal of Adolescence. Now, before I describe the findings of this study, I wanted to give you a brief description of the four different parenting styles. One parenting style is called authoritative parenting. The second is authoritarian parenting. Third is permissive. Fourth is neglectful. And in each of these parenting styles, there are two dimensions, demandingness and responsiveness. Now, I don't want to get too confusing with everything, so I'm going to give you a brief description. But if you head over to kirstneron.com, near the top of the main page, I will leave you a PDF where I describe these four types of parenting and also give you a glimpse into what happens when a child is in school and how a parenting style could impact a child's academic success. So I'll give that to you for free as a PDF. Just enter your email address and you'll receive it in your inbox. And for now, I'll give you a really brief description so that I'm able to explain the results of this study. In each of the four types of parenting that I just mentioned, there is demandingness involved and responsiveness. So demandingness refers to the extent to which a parent shows control and supervision in their parenting. And responsiveness is the extent to which a parent shows effective warmth, acceptance, and involvement. Now, each of these parenting styles will have a certain degree of demandingness and responsiveness. So let's start with the first one, authoritative parenting. This is a type of parenting style where parents are both demanding and responsive. And there's usually control, but it's not restrictive. And this is the type of parenting that uses boundaries and limits, like we just spoke in this episode. These types of parents are highly involved with their children, participate in their child's life. They have a high level of open trust with their child. There's an encouragement of psychological autonomy. They do monitor and control, but there's also a lot of warmth. There's a high level of awareness of where their child is, whom they're with, and what they are doing. So they're very involved with their child. There are limits and boundaries, but there's also a lot of that warmth, sensitivity, and involvement. In authoritarian parenting, this is when a parent is demanding, but not responsive. So there's that warmth and sensitivity that's missing. There's a low level of trust in this type of parenting. Parents that follow this style seem to discourage open communication. There's a very strict control in this type of parenting. It's more adult than child-centered. There is a high level of psychological control. And from an adolescent's point of view, they usually feel that they're being controlled, devalued, and criticized. The next parenting style is called permissive parents. In this parenting style, parents are responsive but not demanding. So there are no limits, there are no boundaries, there is a sense of freedom, and parents characterized by this parenting style do not require mature behavior from their children and allow them to behave autonomously and independently. In the last type of parenting style, called neglectful parenting, this is when parents are neither responsive nor demanding. They do not support or encourage their child's self-regulation, and they are not involved. Now, the study that I looked at questioned whether or not parenting style impacted an adolescent's achievement strategies in school. Achievement strategy has three substages, but let's think back perhaps to the days when we were back in school. So when you were confronted by a challenging achievement situation, you could either anticipate failing or anticipate success. So this is part of the mentality that impacts your achievement strategy. In addition to that, when you are faced with one of these challenging achievement situations, you know, so let's say a certain exam in a topic or a project, you could either orient yourself towards planning for the task and investing effort, or you could try to avoid the task by withdrawing. These adaptive strategies have been found to be linked to higher levels of school achievement. So the person who is more motivated and anticipates success and plans and invests their effort in a certain task, they have a higher chance of succeeding. And what this study was questioning is whether or not a child's upbringing or their parenting style can impact, you know, how they feel and how they think through these really difficult challenges in school. Looking at the opposite end of this, so maladaptive strategies show that some children or some students might avoid a task that they feel could be challenging. This could be due to a lack of belief in your personal control, which will lead to them avoiding the situation, and could also have something called self-handicapping, which is when a person does not trust his or own competence to handle the situation, but rather expects failure. 354 14-year-old adolescents completed a survey and defined the parenting style that they were raised with. And the findings from this study were really interesting because they showed that adolescents from the authoritative families, so remember being that type of parenting style where you are both responsive and demanding, were the students that showed the highest level of adaptive achievement strategies. They had low levels of failure expectations. They even had self-enhancing attributions, so they were able to really lift themselves up when they were faced with a challenge. So how does this relate back to boundaries? Well, establishing boundaries starting right now, today, establishing healthy boundaries in your home, especially if you have a young child or even a baby, this type of parenting style is what will lead to higher success in your child. That is why I really wanted to talk about boundaries in today's episode, because although they might seem difficult, which is why we might avoid them, they are instrumental in a child's academic achievement and performance. It's very easy to let time pass and to label our child as being difficult or challenging, having big emotions all the time. But taking a moment today to establish boundaries in your home, sit down with your spouse, your partner, and take the time to write down what the boundaries are in your home, just like Jessica mentioned. This is really important for your child. It's important for your relationship with your child, especially now also knowing the different parenting styles. Which parenting style, without maybe even knowing, have you been following up to now? And is this the parenting style that you were raised with? If I think back to my own personal upbringing, I was raised by a single mother. So her parenting style was, I think, a little bit of a mix, but mostly authoritarian. And it's not that it was wrong, but she would always say that she had to be the mother and the father. And that meant being very strict with my brother and I. If you have been following a different parenting style besides authoritative, I really encourage you to think of the steps that you'd like to take to perhaps make your way towards authoritative. Don't feel guilty It's okay. Just because we have a child doesn't mean that we become professionals in parenting. And that's why part of the reason why I, you know, have Curious Neuron and provide this content for you is so that we can be educated as parents. I'm learning along with you. I'm searching for these articles to see what could be applied to parenting. And learning about the different parenting styles really shed light on my own parenting, actually, this week. I realized that part of the way that I was parented as a child was kind of making its way into my parenting. Even though I always envisioned myself as being authoritative, the authoritarian kind of parenting that's more strict sometimes makes its way through. So, you know, just being aware of the four different types of parenting and remembering that a healthy balance of rules and affection and sensitivity really helps a child thrive, can help us as parents. And that is my goal here at Curious Neuron. I want to provide you with information from research about parenting. So I think this for me was a really important episode in terms of establishing and defining different parenting styles and the importance of boundaries. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please take a moment to rate and review the podcast and let me know what you like or what you don't like. Thank you for listening. And until next time, stay curious.